But I had a great week this week. Chad Bixler had to kind of pull out last minute from the taking the youth camp. He called me up, like, "Scott, I got a challenge for you." And I prayed about it. I said, "Man, I'm going to do this." And I'll tell you what, I'm glad I did. We have some amazing young people at this church who love the Lord. We were at a camp at Piney Wood for a camp called Power Plus, and it was great. We had so many good discussions. We laughed a lot. We made fun of each other a lot, all in good fun. Like how Caleb puts it, he says, I'm bullying you for your greater good," is what Caleb was telling kids all week this week. So, but we had a great weekend. Well, we're continuing our message series today. As you can see, you're in the jungle, baby. You're in the jungle. Look at this. Look at this set. We've got giraffes and elephants. We started our preschool VBS on Friday, and they are the cutest things. It's funny because I've been using this puppet. I got to tell you all this. This is funny. So I've been using this puppet, and I'm a terrible ventriloquist. I've got to kind of cover my mouth so I can talk for the puppet. And I realized last night, this puppet is just too much of a distraction because all they want to do is expose me as a fraud. It's all these kids want to do. They're like, "I can see your arms. I see your mouth moving." You know, and all this stuff. So I said, forget the puppet. We're not going to do the puppet anymore. But it's been fun. Our workers up here have been incredible, preparing for the last several months, really. And just all the work that they've put in, I just say praise the Lord for you and your work here. You're doing a great work because we are seeing a lot of kids coming to know Christ. I'll tell you, two kids last night shared a pretty lengthy scripture verse, just from memory at the end of the night. So praise the Lord for all of that. Well, here we are in our message series called Finding Your Sweet Spot. How many of you want to find your sweet spot? You want to operate and function in your sweet spot? And I've learned over time that I have spent too much time focusing on all my weaknesses and in the areas that I want to be. You know, I want to be like Matt Town in some areas of my life. And I want to be like Chad Bixler. But you know what? I'm not them, okay? God has gifted me differently than he has gifted them. And he has given me different abilities and talents that are different than them. And I need to celebrate that and give attention to the things that God has blessed me with so I can use them for his glory to build up the body of Christ and to advance his kingdom. And so we learned that first week. You're going to see some slides come up on the screen. In week one, we learned that you are God's workmanship created for his purpose. He designed you. He put you together. He planted you here for a reason. You have a purpose to be here. And you have to spend time and prayer finding out what that purpose is. And so you're his workmanship, you're his design, and I think the designer knows what he's doing, okay? I think the workman, the creator, knows what he's doing when he created you. Last week, we talked about our unique abilities and talents. See, the abilities and talents are given to you at birth, and so some of you are athletic, some of you are good at math. Some of you you have a love for reading and you enjoy that. So there's different skills and different things that God has planted and gifted you with from birth. And so last week we learned that you are uniquely talented for the assignment that God has given you. He put you on this earth for an assignment, and you are uniquely talented for that. And then today, we're going to learn that you are given spiritual gifts to fulfill God's assignment for the church. Now, when I talk about the church, I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about the body of Christ. I'm talking about you as believers, okay? This is just a metal building, all right? But you are the body of Christ, and you are given spiritual gifts to help be a part of building up the body of Christ, to bring glory to God and to advance his kingdom. And so let's kind of get into it. So this is one thing that we, let me just start off by saying, if you are a Christian, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, if you've trusted him as Lord and Savior, he has given you gifts, spiritual gifts, okay? These are different than natural abilities. Natural abilities, every human being that's born receives natural abilities and those kinds of talents. But these are spiritual gifts given to you at the point of salvation, at the new birth. And so when you are born again, the old is gone, and behold, all things come new. God puts his spirit inside of you, and through his spirit, you are given spiritual gifts. This is what scripture says, and we'll dig into this a little bit more. Those gifts aren't for your own benefit, okay? They're not to be hoarded and kept to yourself. They're to be used for his benefit and for his glory. Their purpose is to build up the body of Christ and to bring glory to his name, to make an impact on the world for the advancement of the kingdom. And so here's the things that when you have discovered your spiritual gift, you'll experience a greater sense of your calling. And you'll experience a renewed passion for your faith. And you'll have a greater connection to God and his work on this earth. But when we ignore the gifts, and this is what happened with me, is I thought this Christian life was about fixing me, okay, and going to heaven, all right? But there's an assignment, and don't sit it out. Don't sit it out. He has gifted you for the assignment that he has put you on this earth for. And so we have to understand that. And listen, just because you have these gifts doesn't mean that you'll use them. It doesn't mean that you'll apply them. There are many Christians who don't. You're given these gifts at the point of salvation, but there are so many who don't apply them, and it's heartbreaking, really. It's heartbreaking when people don't search out and go on an all-out venture to discover what their gifts are. And I'll tell you, this is the ticket out of a dead religion. If you have lived in dead religion for a long period of time and you're still, after 20 years or whatever, scratching your head going, man, what is this whole thing about? I come to church, I sit, I do what they tell me to do, I read my Bible, and I just can't seem... I'll tell you, it's probably because you're not activating your spiritual gifts that God has given you. And so there's this great point in the Apostle Peter's life in Acts chapter 1. It says that he receives the power of the Spirit, okay, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And then in Acts chapter 2, we see Peter sharing the gospel. He's preaching to literally thousands of people, and thousands of people come to Christ. Why? Because he's exercising his spiritual gift of evangelism, and he's sharing the gospel. And through the power of the Spirit, not any power of his own, of Peter's own, he is seeing people come to Christ. And then Peter goes, and he continues to not only share the gospel himself, but then he teaches others how to evangelize. And so he's using his gift. He's leading people to Christ using his gift, and he's teaching people how to lead others to Christ using his gift, as we see played out in other books of the Bible. But so here's the point. God has gifted you and has given you an assignment. And I hope that you will be sensitive to that after our message today. But just because God has gifted you, or he's put this deposit in you, it doesn't mean that you will activate it. It's going to be up to you. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to just come out of you, right? In order for the gift that God has put in you to come out of you, for you to make a difference in this world, you have to develop that gift, and you have to search out those giftings. And I'll tell you, it's not just one gift. God has given several, and we're going to talk about some practical ways on how to discover your spiritual gift towards the end of the message today. But in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, it says this, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. And so what this is saying is to fan into the flame, and your version might say to stir up the gift of God that is in you. It is up to you to stir it up. It is up to you to fan it into flame, or it will lay dormant. So let me ask you a question. Do you want to be passionate about God's work on this earth and stir up your spiritual gifts? Is it something that you really want to pursue? And, you know that your spiritual gifts point to your assignment in the body of Christ, in the church. And so, and this is some of the things that I've come to realize myself. I have the gift of mercy. I have a gift, the gift of evangelism. I have the gift of shepherding. Those are usually the some of my high ones, the ones that are at the top of my list. And so, and what I've learned is when I'm engaged in those things, I experience a tremendous amount of joy, and I experience a tremendous amount of fruit in ministry. When I try to be somebody else and do other things, it doesn't always play out very well, okay? And so, one more thing before we dig into our text today. We're gonna be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but spiritual gifts are first mentioned in the book of Romans chapter 1 in verse 11 and 12, and it says this. Let me just read that to you. I mean, go to 1 Corinthians, keep your thumb there. But it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, this is the Apostle Paul. He says, for I long to see you. Remember, he's writing this letter to the church in Rome. He's telling them, I long to see you. Listen to this. That I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That I may impart to you a spiritual gift to strengthen you. Now, Paul, when he says that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, that might sound sort of confusing, but what he's saying is, I'm going to use or impart my spiritual gift to you to strengthen you. So what he's saying is, I'm going to use my gift to strengthen you. And he uses the same language in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. Paul uses, he says, we sent Timothy to strengthen you. So again, I want you to remember, you're his workmanship. You're created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You are uniquely designed. You are not an assembly line product. You're not made from some kind of Oompa Loompa machine Willy Wonka made, okay? You are his handiwork. You are his workmanship. He planned you and he has equipped you. And part of God's plan is that he gives you these spiritual gifts. But listen, salvation, when you make this Christian life about salvation, or when you make it about going to heaven, I should say, or you make it about other things, kind of like what I did, you'll miss out on the assignment, your assignment here, the work to be done, and you'll make it more about you than the work that God is going to do through you. And you'll focus everything on you, and I gotta fix this. And I'll tell you what I've learned is when I'm engaged in my spiritual gifts, God begins to change my heart through that service. It's amazing what he does. So when we engage our gifts, God begins to iron out the wrinkles. It's so weird how this has happened. You've heard me say that I use my natural ability for music, right? When I was in prison ministry, a guy put me in that spot. And I'll tell you, then I started using these spiritual gifts I never even knew to kind of shepherd some of these kids and walk with them over the course of about 7 years in prison ministry. And God changed me. And what he did is he caused me to run to his word and depend more on him. And I began to develop a hunger and a desire for him like I had never experienced before. Why? Because I engaged my gifts and I experienced the joy of my salvation through using these spiritual gifts. And so in Matthew 16, 25, it says this, "For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Look, lose your life. Get yourself out of the way and activate your spiritual gifts. Activate your spiritual gifts. And so as we dig into this text, I want to, I pull my toolbox out of my truck. Hopefully a bunch of screws and bolts and stuff don't fall out of this thing. But so I got this toolbox a couple years ago, okay? And you see this is one of those little generic toolboxes I keep in my truck. And you'll see that there's a hammer. You see the hammer? And you see the other items in there, okay? This is kind of like the church, in that the church has all kinds of different tools, okay? And when we need a nail driven into a piece of wood, we call for the hammer, right? We don't grab the screwdriver and use the screwdriver handle to nail the nail in. When we need a hammer, we get the hammer and we use the hammer, right? When we need a screw driven into a piece of wood, we get the screwdriver and we screw it in with the... When we need the wrench, we pull the wrench out. When we need the socket set, we pull the socket set out. I hope you get the point here. That God has gifted us in different ways. We are different tools in God's toolbox to be used for his purpose. And I want you to keep that in mind as we dig into this text today. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is the city of Corinth. This is a major trade city in southern Greece. There's this little isthmus, it's called, this little sliver of land between northern and southern Greece. And Corinth was right at the bottom of that. So this was like a major trade route that would come through. And so people would stop at this little city of Corinth. And so the city was flourishing, lots and lots and lots of people, lots of trade going on there. Well, it was also a very depraved city, very immoral city. And this was one of the things that Paul was contending with in the church. He established this church on his second missionary journey, and he stayed there. He trained up some people and nurtured the church for about 2 years, and then he leaves. And just a couple of years later, Paul, he receives this troubling word, a letter, saying that there's problems in the church. It was asking for help, his help, in solving some of these problems. And here's what the problems were. There were power struggles in the church. And so keep in mind, again, the church is the people. And so this is the gathering of people. And there were power struggles. There was sexual immorality. There was Christians suing other Christians. A lot of problems and dysfunction. And so Paul writes this letter back to them. In the first six chapters, he deals with these problems. But then he gets into the spiritual gifts in chapter 12, and I want to pick up on chapter 12 in verse 1, and let's just read 1 through 11, shall we? You're going to see this on the screen. It says, Paul says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts," as if what he needs to do is he wants to let them know there's a problem with this, and we need to get this thing ironed out. The church is a mess. And we're going to have to deal with this issue of spiritual gifts. And so he says, "Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." Verse 4, "Now there are a variety or varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, of healing, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportion to each one individually as he wills. So at the beginning, Paul, he begins chapter 12, and he first deals with the confusion over spiritual gifts. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. And these believers were severely uninformed. Your version might say ignorant. He's like, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. And he's saying that to you today. I don't want you to miss out on this. I don't want you to be uninformed with this. This is very important. I don't want you to be ignorant of this. I want you to know this. And, you know, paganism and Greek mysticism were taking its toll on the church in Corinth. And these counterfeit gifts were inside the church. And some were being controlled by demons, Paul says. But Paul knew that these believers had to be led by the Spirit and had to be operating in their giftings. And so this is why he brings this up. And so in verse 2, he says, you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. And so in other words, these idols were mute. They had no voice, they had no word, they had no truth to give you, but you were depending on them back in the old days. But now you're believers and you don't need to be doing this. And they could only, if they were depending on these idols, they would be led astray. And so he says, "You before you depended on those items and idols, but listen, it's just like today, isn't it? Idols will pull you away from giving your attention to the Lord. Things, the things of this world, drawing your attention away. That's what was happening in these days. And what was comfortable and familiar, they would go back to. And so that's what was happening here. And some of these Gentile believers were evidently so immersed in paganism that they were speaking against the name of Jesus. And they were bringing elements of their pagan culture into the church. And so so Paul gives them this simple test to help them distinguish whether they're operating in the Spirit of God or not. And so look at verse 3. It says, therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. So he's saying, no one speaking in the Spirit will condemn Jesus. If they do, that's a false spiritual gift, right? It's a false spiritual gift. There are speaking gifts, and we'll get into this a little bit more next week. And so those who stand up to speak, who are claiming to be exercising a gift, if they're doing it, and they're doing it in a way that curses Jesus, obviously that is not of the Spirit of God. And so he's giving them, again, this test. And in verse 4, he says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. So what he's saying is no one gives a true and genuine confession, confessing Jesus as Lord, except those who are led by the Spirit. So he's helping them, again, just kind of sort of distinguish. And so now he starts to get into the gifts in verse 4, and he says this, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. See, God gives us many spiritual gifts, but all are empowered by one Spirit, the Spirit of God. And so there's gifts. Some of the gifts, I'll give you some examples, are leadership, evangelism, teaching. There's helps gifts. There's mercy gifts. There's the gift of hospitality, the gift of prophecy. So many gifts to be used in the body of Christ. And we see here that God has assigned various gifts, various giftings. And we'll cover those again next week. But so the question is, what spiritual gift has God assigned for you? What gifts do you have? What gifts do you have to be used for him in his work. Like what 1 Corinthians 12:6 says, it says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So you're given these gifts for the common good. These gifts work together for the common good. So Paul continues on, and again, he says, we are given various gifts, a variety of gifts. He has given us spiritual gifts, and he has given us or given you a ministry. Look what he says next. And there are a variety of services or ministries, but the same Lord. A variety of gifts, the same Spirit, a variety of ministries or services, but the same Lord. There are all sorts of ministries, isn't there? All kinds of ministries. There's a ministry for teaching adults or youth or children. There's outreach ministries where we can use things like the gift of mercy can be used in an outreach ministry. A gift of helps can be used in outreach ministry. And so there's various giftings, and then there's various ministries for it to be used in. Look at verse 5. And there are a variety of services, verse 6. There are a variety of activities, but the same God who empowers them all and everyone. And I looked up this word activities in the Greek. It's energema or energema. And this word means effects or impact. And it speaks of the various ways it makes an impact. There are all kinds of different ways and activities that you can get involved in that are not necessarily organized ministries, but just various activities that you can get your hands involved in that can build up the body of Christ. And so that's another just important point that Paul makes. And again, think about the church as a toolbox. What is your role? What is your gift? What is your ministry? That's the question. And I like what he says. You can see this in verse 4 through 6. It says, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. You're going to see the Trinity here, okay? The same Spirit. And there are a variety of services, but the same Lord, Spirit and Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but the same God. So God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Spirit gives the gifts. Jesus models the ministry on earth, right? And God gives the increase to make the impact happen. That's one of the best passages to reference for the Trinity right there, and how God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit work together to do their work. So where are we at? Verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. All spiritual gifts are from the Holy Spirit. And each of you are given these gifts for the common good. They benefit everyone, right? I need you. You need me. My gift, I might be called to this position as pastor, but you are no less valuable than me. You are no less important than I am, okay? My ministry is no more valuable than your ministry here, okay? We all work together. We're on an equal playing field when it comes to these giftings, and God intends for us all to use them in humility, right? So then he says, we're given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, he says, verse 11. Who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So in other words, he gives this person over here, maybe he gives David two or three gifts, okay? And they're going to be completely different than my gifts, right? And so he gives us these unique giftings for his service, and he does it according to his will, the way he wants to do it, okay? We just submit to his will, and we let the chips fall where they may, in terms of spiritual gifts. We don't try to step out in front of God, and we don't try to say, I want that gift, I'm gonna have that gift, and I'm gonna use that gift. I've seen people do this. And they step into roles they don't need to be in because they want so bad to have that gifting. Y'all hearing me? I get an amen up in here? Okay? So they want so bad to have that gifting, and all they're doing is putting all their energy into a weak area of theirs when they should be flourishing in their area of gifting. And it's so frustrating when you do that. And I've done that before. And sometimes I think when we're trying to find out what our spiritual gifts are, we need to sample a few areas. We might say, man, I'll tell you what, I think this is my area of ministry. Test it out. You'll know before long if that's really, where your gifting lands. And so for some people, certain aspects of the Christian life are unappealing. And I know lots of people who are uncomfortable praying. They're uncomfortable singing, and I completely understand that. They don't like to read, so they don't want to read their Bibles, okay? And so where I'm going at with this is there are some things, like Bible reading, that we need to realize it doesn't take a spiritual gift to read your Bible, okay? All right? We need to be in the Word. We need to be in the Word of God. And let me help you with giving you no excuse for this, okay? When I was in fourth grade, I was diagnosed with dyslexia. And I have always struggled with reading. As a matter of fact, if you listen carefully, how sometimes I'll break in my reading, it's because I've kind of trained myself with different ways of trying to read with a flow because of this problem that I have. And so I worked ways to correct it, but I'll tell you what, I hated reading. So there literally is no excuse for anyone in here. I hated reading for most of my life. But I prayed for the desire to read God's word, and it was God's word that gave me a love for reading everything else. And I read other books. I read about a book about every week and a half. I'm reading a new book. And I used to hate reading. And so you can pray to God for that desire to hear from him through his word. So again, I don't want you to use that as an excuse. And I'll tell you, I've learned to gravitate towards that. But again, that's not spiritual gifts. There are some things, there are some disciplines in the Christian life that I'll tell you, it's not legalism. It's not legalism to say you should be in the Word every day. That's not legalism, okay? That is helping you to develop as a believer. And you should gravitate towards spiritual disciplines to become a healthy follower of Christ. You should if it's something that you have to work on, okay? And again, I'm not saying that everybody should be up on the stage singing, but our hearts should sing the praises of our Lord, okay? Even if your mouth doesn't sing the praises of our Lord, your heart should sing the praises of our Lord. And so, we're not talking about these talents up here, all right? Those things are separate. Those are spiritual disciplines that we all should be engaged in, okay, to help flourish in other areas such as our gifts. And so don't use those as an excuse. All right, we're about to wrap up. But today is to kind of, was kind of to set the tone and to read what Paul, how important it was to Paul to bring this up to the church that was failing. It was a church that was failing. He's like, you want to turn this thing around? Do not neglect. Don't be ignorant of the spiritual gifts. And it was one of the solutions he was using to turn this body of believers around in Corinth. And so we want to have the attitude that says, whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'll do it. You want me to grow in my spiritual gifts? I will have, and it's the attitude that Paul had, y'all. Paul had to deal with this. And he says, whatever gain I had, he's talking about his former life. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a leader. He had all this prestige as a Pharisee, as a religious leader. And he says, whatever gain I had back then, I now count as loss. For the sake of Christ. I'm doing it all for the sake of Christ. I flush all that prestige down the toilet, okay? I utterly forsake it now and turn away from it. And now I willingly give my life as a living sacrifice, holy and blameless for the Lord, seeking after him, looking to develop things like my giftings, is what he said. Okay? And so, so I want you to remember this. Remember that he has given a variety of gifts, and he has given a variety of ministries and a variety of activities to utilize these gifts for his glory, right? To build up the body of Christ and to advance his kingdom. And then let me just make this one last point. I need to believe in God's gifts in you, and you need to believe in God's gifts in me, okay? And I need to be able to see your gifts developing and encourage you in that and rely on you in that. For example, if you have the gift of administration, okay, that's probably one that's lower on my list, okay? You have the gift of administration. I should be able to lean on you for that gifting for God's glory here at Bear Creek, okay? If you have the gift of whatever it is, mercy, or the gift of helps, I should be able to lean on you. And whenever gifts you see in me, you should be able to lean on me. And that's how we build up the body of Christ. Amen? So I pray that you'll do that. Chad's going to come up here in a minute. He's going to share some announcements. Actually, come on up here, Chad. Uh-oh. He has to get the microphone because he's going to sing a solo here in a minute. He's going to give you an example of how not to exercise somebody else's talent, right? Okay, well, hang tight. I want to show you this again, and many of you have done this, but these are bags that we're giving out. They're available back there, and every one of you can grab them. This is for our food ministry. God continues to use our food ministry. We're hoping that this continues to grow and develop, that we will make a deeper and more lasting impact on our community. So we have one food distribution that we've been doing now for quite a while in Wheatland, also known as Whiskey Flats, okay? And then we have another one starting up on the 27th of this month. It's a mobile food ministry here in Crescent. And it's open to the public. Whoever is in need can come and get food, and we're going to be distributing clothes, and you can be a part of it. So if you'll pick up one of these bags, this is the name of our ministry. We're just here to serve. And so we just show up, and we go, hey, look, we're just here to serve. And so then on the back of the bag, it says it's easy as 1, 2, 3, and these are the ways that you can get involved. It tells you what you can put in the bag, food items, hygiene items, clothes, and then how to bring it back up here, and then how to find out more about our food ministry if you want to come out and serve, okay? And this is what I'm saying with our food ministry. As we continue to reach this community, our main thrust is to see that every person comes to a saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, okay? That we see every person saved, healed, and free, and living out their purpose that Christ has given them. And so how do we do that? Well, here's three things. I want you to think about this. I'll be sharing this for the next year. Three things. Number one, we meet needs. Voila, giving them food, right? Meet need. Number two, we make friends. What's your name? Where are you from? Tell me a little about yourself. And then number three is we share our story. This is the way I used to be. This is the way I tried to fix me. And then Jesus showed up and changed my life forever. And let me share with you a little bit more about him, okay? It's as simple as that. Meet needs, make friends, share your story. And so we're gonna continue to press this, because when we're at these two locations, we want to be an effective ministers of the gospel. You know, you are all ministers of the gospel, whether you want to or not. You signed up for it. When you gave your life to Christ, it was like you signed the dotted line, and now you're ministers of the gospel. And so come be a part of that, the 27th, right here in Crescent. There'll probably be more workers than people coming for food, because it's our first time. but at least you'll get a feel for kind of what we do. Right, Chad?